Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode, number 458, I'm welcoming back to the show my favorite guy, Bruce McFadden.
Starting with that connection, like today, what's the Chinese proverb that says, like, when do you plant a tree? Well, you should have planted it
yesterday.
You should have planted it 20 years ago.
Oh.
But if you didn't, today is the right day.
That's right.
To plant a tree.
This March, Bruce and I celebrated a monumental moment in our marriage. 25 years, a quarter of a century. And so I'm bringing him back on the show to share what we've learned, answer some of your questions. Bruce has pretty much come on every year of the podcast. And so if you love hearing from him, just go to my website, heathermcfadden.com. Go in the podcast search bar. You can search at any time, any topic, and I'm sure you'll find a conversation I've had on it. But if you want to search Bruce, you'll find those conversations, whether it's Strength Finders, whether it's reserving the right to change your mind and rehoming a puppy, teenage stuff, all the things. Today, answering questions about what have we learned, like I said, and how do you make time for intimacy? What do you do when your spouse is struggling in their faith? And what are we looking forward to when our kids are grown and flown, with our oldest heading off to college? That is sooner than I can imagine. It's going to happen, y'all. I'm going to be empty nested. It's been a long time coming, but here it comes. And if you look at the show notes, you might be like, what are Heather and Bruce talking about? You'll listen to some of Bruce's faves. He's always got some good reading going on. So let's get right to it. Here we go.
Hi.
Bruce. Welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
It's great to be here.
Again. It's been a year. And in this year, my book did come out, Right Where You Belong.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And at the book launch party, what else did we celebrate?
My 50th birthday.
And we were just talking about how young we look on this video. We don't have any problems with our eyes. We're trying to open our eyes really big. Thanks for coming on. Because even though you have been on, how many times have we decided? Like seven?
That sounds right, directionally.
There's always more that comes up every year. We learn more and more things. We have an 18-year-old now, a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 12-year-old.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I was realizing our oldest is about the age of when I met you.
Oh, my goodness. Wait.
I was going to turn 19 in like 3 months, but... Yeah. That's wild, right? Like if he met a 22-year-old, would you have?
Well, he was about the age that you were when I met you. But right, I was older. Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Okay. You said it right.
Yeah. Okay. So we're in that stage, y'all. And we went back and listened to the last time you were on, episode 399. And we talked about a stage when it was hard with young kids. So if you sent in that question of like, when did you go through a blah time? I think it was less blah and more overwhelming, stressful. Brene Brown says she and her spouse will come into the house and she'll be like, it's not 50-50. She says one spouse is always giving more. But in that stage of young kids, you're kind of like, I got 5%. Yeah. And you were in the season of heightened career. You might've said what? Like 0%.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just barely. Yeah. Once one foot in front of the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bandwidth is just not there. So it wasn't that it was boring.
Mm-hmm. It just wasn't, you weren't thinking very far forward.
You're just reacting and responding to constant needs. But what I see, like when I see couples out with the whole family, what makes me sad, and if you're this family, I'm not judging, it makes me sad, is I see how tired everybody is and how much energy it takes to manage the kids and not a lot of connecting.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's easy for me to zone out. I think you are much better at not zoning out, but I will definitely zone out and then I'll bring something up and you guys are like, well, we just talked about that. I'm like, shoot.
Well, that's now. But like even with little kids, I just think we would divide and conquer. And But I think what happens in this stage, what I noticed recently when someone said, do you have a blah or a boring stage, or how did you keep it exciting? I was like, I don't feel like it's ever been boring, but I do think we can get in ruts.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah. No, I think that's exactly it. Like, I think of boring as sitting around with nothing to do. And that is very rare. But yeah, but then I think my defense mechanism, I think, probably is to just to play the hits all again and again and again.
Well, routine, I think, in some things is helpful when your brain space is so full other places. Like your position, even probably now a year later, like a year ago when we talked, you were in the same position as COO of Zello, but like your involvement has only increased. The company has grown. The opportunities have grown. And so that just takes up so much more brain space. And so if you can just hit the play button on other things, like,
yeah,
this is the default.
Yeah.
This is where we go to lunch on Sunday. Default. This is what we do for date night.
This, like, is what we do in the evening if we have nothing going on.
Like after dinner, we've cleaned up dinner. We're going to sit on the couch. We're going to watch the show.
Yeah.
And then when you hit a certain point, you're like, I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to read my book.
Yeah. And go to bed earlier now. I feel like I go to bed more like 9:30. We used to never do that, even when our kids were young. But yeah. And I think that's right. Like, so I think I said this perhaps in a prior podcast, but like, I tend to not know how I feel.
We did a whole episode on Bruce Learns to Label His Feelings. We'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah. And so I think sometimes I just go into those because I don't know how I feel. I don't know what I need. So it's like I go for something that I know what
it'll recharge you.
It'll recharge me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to have to reinvent the wheel on, like, you're not in a creative space of like, what could we do? Let's play a game.
Yeah, spontaneity. Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so I'm trying to create experiences.
Yeah.
And I've just had to own, like, if I'm feeling that we're in a rut, again, not boring, not blah, but just the routine is taking over, I have to shake up the routine. Like, I can't wait for you to. It's kind of my role. And it's not one is wrong, one is right. It's just the yin-yang balance of two different personalities.
Yeah, and I appreciate you doing that. Like, I don't want to be in a rut, but I think, yeah, you are the catalyst to get us out of the rut.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Well, and one, I would say you're welcome. In so many episodes, we've talked about our Saturday morning walk, and then we would have a date night. And I think what I realized as our teens, you know, two drivers and two that are home most weekend nights, is we weren't really hanging out with the two that are home. We were leaving them home a lot. And so some Saturday night, and we're choosing more to kind of forego maybe a date night to be home with them or to do something with them. And moving the date around. I mean, you're home every day except for one day a week. We can do a day date or a weeknight date. You know what I mean?
I'm not very good at day dates, but
we did a Valentine's day date. Not a fan.
Yeah. I context shifting is a little bit hard during the workday for me. But what I would say though is I think you're right. Like, I think we still prioritize the time. I think we're less.
It's not structured. Like, it always has to be like this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or like, let's go out with friends, and maybe like we have friends that we'll go over to their house, play Mahjong, and the kids could come with us.
Yeah.
Just being a little more creative.
Yeah.
Shaking it up. You know who was most excited that I got to partner with Total Gym? My boys and my husband. My oldest said, why didn't we get one of these 2 years ago? I don't know if you have teen boys, maybe your girls too, but they're looking to like get fit. And even my husband in his 50s would love to get fit. And yet it's hard to make time for it in a busy, busy life. And so it's great to have an option at home that they can just hop on in a few minutes and see results, because you can get in a total body workout in just 10 to 20 minutes with Total Gym. What's even better, if you want to try it out for yourself and see if it fits your family, you can try it for 30 days for just a dollar plus free shipping. I'm serious, $1. With their new Total Gym Fit model, You get over 85 exercises in one home gym. It accommodates all fitness levels from ages 8 to 80. I'm not kidding. My 12-year-old can get the Total Gym out. He can set it up by himself. He can use it. I hear him in there using it. Put it back up. What I love is it doesn't take up much space. We have never bought the boys' weights before because it's like you need a dedicated room and we just have too many people in our house. So it's great that it's something that can be collapse easily. I need to make an Instagram video so you can see how easy it is. And I'll show maybe my 12-year-old using it. It uses a percentage of your body weight as resistance, and you kind of set that resistance level with how inclined the bench is, and you're not having to add or remove weight, so you can get more exercises in a short amount of time. I also love, I'm a Pilates girl, and I love Pilates on a reformer, and I can do some of my Pilates exercises on the Total Gym. My Pilates people know what I'm talking about, and so I have loved having that in our home. Remember, it only takes 10 to 20 minutes a day to reshape your body. So head to totalgymdirect.com/DMA to get an additional 20% off your order. Now you need to go to that specific link, and that additional 20% off is any deal that they have listed on the site. You're gonna get special, okay? Plus that includes a free ab crunch attachment and free shipping. This special offer won't be available for much longer. That's totalgymdirect.com/DMA for an additional 20% off. Make sure you go to that URL. Like I said, totalgymdirect.com/DMA so that they know I sent you. Okay, let's move on to another question. What did you learn in your 25? Because y'all, I didn't say it. 25-year anniversary, March 6th of this year. It's a big deal. 25 years. What did you learn in year 25 that you wish you knew in year one?
For me, I think it is to relax a little bit, to not take everything so seriously. And then maybe
like
that's just
your intensity down.
Intensity down. Yeah. I think, I mean, I'm a high passion individual, but I think maybe I applied my passion kind of maybe in a less disciplined way. I would say my passion maybe controlled me rather than me controlling my passion, having any level of moderation around that. So I think about that exists in like all aspects of life, just all decisions.
Give an example, like for our relationship or with the kids, what's different?
Yeah. Well, okay. So the kids one is, and I probably said this in
the first few episodes,
but, just in general, for me, I learned that rarely did a decision need more intensity, like with a kid. Like rarely was me coming in hot, which was totally what I wanted to do. It was my natural response. Rarely did that actually
produce fruit.
Produce any kind of fruit.
Yeah.
And then the more I began to understand that and chill out, then to the points when escalation perhaps was needed, had a lot more effect. Like if I just always flip out, if any certain type of event, then whenever I flip out, I just get tuned out.
Literally talked to Ralphie Jacobs an episode right before this about that very thing. Like using that moment of correction when it's vital, like safety. Do you want to know what I learned? Are you finished?
Well, no. I was going to say, even like with us too, like I feel like there's a safety to where, you know, I think in your earlier years, you know, you're still kind of in that dating mode, even if you've been married for a number of years, and where you kind of feel like you have to maybe show up in a way that's less like this is somebody you're planning to spend the rest of your life in. You feel like you have to perform. I guess maybe I feel less performative. Mm. So because of that, like, I feel like it's more natural. It's less intense also in ways that I think were maybe counterproductive.
You can be relaxed in the relationship because you're not having to earn my approval and acceptance through performance.
Yeah. Which I think then what comes with that then is more recognition that I will receive grace when I make mistakes.
You don't make mistakes. Okay. So I think mine goes along with that. I think there was a list, maybe I can find it still, of an emotionally mature person. And I feel like year one versus year 25, I've gained so much wisdom, whether from guests or from our small group and recovery and counseling on emotional maturity and just normal development of life, that I could definitely see, like, I'm able to recognize and share feelings. I'm flexible. I can form these healthy, secure relationships. I take responsibility. We resolve conflicts without drama. I can manage stress. Anyway, before it was like, I was extremely sensitive to criticism.
Yeah.
That first year. And criticism, not like in you're the worst wife ever, like, could you hang up your clothes maybe or something like that.
Well, one of my criticisms was you're too sensitive.
So that didn't go over well. Not able to regulate emotions. Like, yeah, we were talking about that. Like, yeah, I had these high highs and low lows so frequently, and I feel like they've been more mild. Not that I still have.
Yeah. Moments. You're still the same person.
Yeah.
But you control your emotions rather than your emotions controlling you.
And I think I don't know if we talked about attachment theory ever before, but I think it would be that we would switch between being anxiously attached and avoidant. We would trade roles. So if we got in a conflict, I would avoid and I would hide or like not want to talk to you, and you would try to pursue me, or vice versa. And I think we're more securely attached year 25, that we can make mistakes and not assume that the relationship is ruined.
Yeah.
Like, and you said, there's a security there.
Yeah. And I think you also maybe think of the old drama triangle.
Oh, right.
Because I think that there were times where, maybe explain really quickly what the drama triangle is.
I can't remember if I said this in an episode.
There's the attacker,
victim, and rescuer.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, especially if situations around kids or things like that, one of us would fill in the drama triangle. So it's like, a situation with a kid and one of us, and the other third would immediately step in in an unproductive way, just a very cliche way.
And that's a question from Tracy Wade. We know Tracy. When you disagree on how parenting a child should play out, how do you resolve it? And I think that's what I noticed, where I would see a behavior that I wanted it to go away. So I would invite you into it. You would handle it by coming down hard. And then I would come in and rescue. And you were so confused. You were like,
In the early days.
Yeah. You were so confused. You're like, wait a second. I thought you wanted me to address the behavior. And here now I'm the bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think even realizing with the drama triangle, I think it diminishes that challenge on managing behavior with kids. I think, and I don't know if you have a thought on that, but I think with teen issues, we may disagree on managing them and the consequences feel bigger. And so it can, I think, can be more tense than when they were toddlers and it was like, do we give them a fruit snack or not? You know?
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And I think to some extent, I mean, obviously there's, when you have various situations of any age, I mean, you know, obviously the teen and young adult stage coming on us, you know, now as well. There's not just one way to solve a problem ever, especially at that age. And there's many, many hundreds, if not thousands of ways to solve it. And so I think in general, I think we've gotten better at creating space for the other and sometimes being like, you know what, you're a little bit more convicted in how, like, you being, either of us can say this to each other. So we'll trust the other one to do it. And then if it doesn't work or something like that, the other one might come in and say, hey, here's another way of doing it. I think we've gotten better at that.
I think that you get to the end of yourself real quick when it comes to teens, especially in this day and age. And you're like, I don't know. You throw your hands up. Yeah. I mean, even like with our small group, we're like, we don't know. We've tried all the things, like hitting our head against the wall. So it's not like, oh, I've done this before. If you just X, Y, and Z. And even before, I might be like, well, I read the book on this, so I know better. Ladies and gentlemen, the books are not always correct for your child. So even if I read the book, it's like,
you know what? You did say that a lot when you were young, but it's been
a long time.
It's been way over a decade since I've heard you say that. So that brings me back.
Yeah, no, I think I threw out all the I know y'all, I talk to authors all the time, but I hold all of it more loosely that there is one track because there's different kids. And I think you and I talk about this and we didn't, I don't think have on the show is how you divide up types of kids into these broad categories for our family. Do you want to share those two categories of?
Oh, well, I think I learned the categories from you, but, but it was, there are people who the world is happening to them and there are people who they are happening to the world. And that is a really helpful constructive lens. And to be honest, I think the more times we've played around with that, it's pretty true. And I think, so if you
And helpful in managing.
And helpful. So like if you have, and we have a mix in this. And so if you have a situation where a kid consistently, the world is happening to them, like there's always some sort of excuse when something happened, they're the victim in some way, you're going to manage that situation totally differently than there's somebody who's more the aggressive stance, who's always happening to the world.
And they call it external locus of control and internal locus of control. And I think that if you recognize your internal locus of control, you can see, oh, I have an ability to change my perspective on this circumstance or to change my behavior or to influence, you know, my friends in this way instead of just like, oh, they're all doing it, so then I'm going to do it. Or I get to choose friends. Like I don't have to default to these friends who are treating me badly. Like I can have agency is a word that I keep trying for the ones who are repeatedly victims of circumstances. You're kind of like, no, you have agency, and it's a speaking and empowerment message. And for the other ones,
yeah,
and which you probably fall more into that. I feel like even you and I divide into the two categories. Yeah. I often am a victim of my circumstances and you're like happening to the world. So what would you need to hear?
Well, generally, yeah. So with me and my lens, like I'm happening to the world. What I don't want is you to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to not respond really well to that.
Because you're real good at it, right? Like I don't, you're less concerned with what everyone else is doing. You already kind of know you have a strong internal locus of control. Like you have good problem solving. That's what our kids are even thinking. Like, mom, I know how to solve this. So they need a different message.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think that message is?
Well, but even like when I'm stuck or I'm in a bad place, generally I don't need you to come and fix the problem.
Nobody does.
Okay. Well, so I can speak for myself.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah. But in general, I think where we've gotten better is like, you're not like just forcing advising my way, but you're providing safe space. And oftentimes, and I'm very much an external processor. So that's how I start to kind of figure out what I think. And then I'm at the end of it, you know, you've thrown out some ideas and you know, so forth like that. But what you've more than else done is given me space to process through it. And for me, that's just.
Do you think it's helpful necessary to get feedback on how others experience you?
Yes.
Like I could see like our kids that are happening to the world might need some training on what others are experiencing. Yeah. Like, hey, have you ever considered that your friend may feel plowed over? Or have you ever considered that you're never letting them talk? Or you know what I mean?
Yeah. And even so, like, let's transition a little bit to like a recent example with a kid who was just not turning to homework.
What in the world, people?
Yeah. So that was kind of a newer issue. You've had a few kids here and not turning to homework was like a what? Like, I just thought kids turning homework, like that's, and in some cases the work was even done and it wasn't even turned in. Like, and so we tried, you know, for this kid, the world is happening to him. I can say that because all four are hims. So there's not like, but.
Well,
so,
and I kind of talked about it with David Thomas about that specific situation. Yeah, because of social anxiety being a part of it and anxiety in general being a part of it.
Yeah. And so, you know, we try different things with the carrot and the stick. We try coming in stronger. We come in softer. I think we'd come in soft and then he disengaged and just didn't like do any work. And then, but then we came in harder and he disengaged even more. It was like power off.
Yeah.
And so, we actually found, even though he didn't deserve it, based on, you know, the basic requirements for school, we actually started to loosen up a little bit, and that created some positive momentum. Now, I would say that we have other kids where I think playing that differently would have, you know, be more effective.
It's fun, y'all.
Yeah.
It's not a one size. And so the key, when you disagree, how do you resolve it? I do think you'd already said this, but like whoever cares more.
It can't just be one. Like I think we give and take a lot. We're like, all right.
Well, because you're home more, I think you're way more involved in this stuff than ever. Like even when they were little, I think you just came home and you were like wanting to just connect and be happy. You weren't wanting to correct in that stage. So if you're in that season, I totally get that. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. And I want to share, as Bruce and I are talking about communication and getting on the same page, one thing that has helped us get on the same page is technology. Whether it's adding grocery items to our Alexa or using the Greenlight app to manage money with our kids, Greenlight has saved us so much time and energy because it's a debit card and a money app made for families. So we have cards for each of our four boys. Through the app, we can add and subtract money to and from our kids' accounts in a moment's notice. And you can even set up a recurring or one-time chore. You could connect allowance. This is how we've done allowances for our boys, different amounts for different ages. And we can also see where they're spending their money. So we can help them realize, wow, you've maybe been spending a lot at Starbucks. Not that that's happened with our kids, maybe for your kids. But this Greenlight app also comes with in-app financial literacy games. It's called Level Up, that can help them build money confidence through videos, little challenges, little games. More than 6 million parents and kids use Greenlight to learn about making responsible financial choices. And we have been really, really happy with our use of Greenlight. We've been using it for years. So stop putting off the money talk and get on the same page with your spouse. Start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today. Get your first month for free at greenlight.com/DMA. It's greenlight.com/DMA to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/DMA. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now I understand Bruce and I hitting this 25-year milestone did not come without a lot of help. Thankfully, from professionals, from counselor friends, and just putting in the work to our own mental health journeys and understanding how we're wired. I also understand that maybe you are in a hard place, whether it's in your marriage, in your parenting, in your personal life, with your friends. And so I am honored to get to partner with BetterHelp to give you an option to get the therapy you may be feeling like you need, but you're having a hard time making time for it. So if you've been thinking about starting therapy, I'd love for you to give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You're just going to fill out a brief questionnaire. You're going to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. It is time to stop putting off the therapy you feel like you need. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/DMA today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DMA. Okay, let's look forward. Denise wants to know, what are you both looking forward to when your kids are grown and flown? Can you believe it? That's what I'm going to do the next 10 years is launch kids.
We start the process in a few months with our first going to college. I think just traveling with you.
Yeah.
We traveled a lot pre-kids. So we tried to do it the first year with our first kid, which was...
We took him to Prague. We took him to London. As like an 8-month-old.
Yeah. Took him to San Francisco for a wedding. He was like
3 weeks.
Three weeks. And then Indiana at 6. I mean, it was, so all that to say, I think we enjoy that. Like, because, and you and I, when we travel,
we're going to have to make more money though, because they're all going to be in college.
It's true.
If we're going to travel, I mean, I think we're going to be just, we might be living in a mobile home that we drive around, because this is expensive life we live.
This would be a good spot for a commercial break. Yeah.
Sponsored by.
No. But no, I think that's right. Cause I think I enjoy traveling with you, because I think we do, our traveling in general is really prioritized around low key.
What is that?
Well, being low key. I'm sorry. Not like, the Marvel characters. I was like, yeah. Switching among dimensions.
Time travel. Okay.
No, it's pretty low key. Like, I mean, we'll do things, but we will also just sit and chill and grab a book. And
well, and right now, like we're going to go on a 25-year anniversary trip. We're looking at options, and Europe did not sound interesting to me at all, because that's too much work. I'm not in a work mindset. I just want to sit on a beach with a book. And so maybe when they're all grown and flown, we'll have energy again. I remember my friend Leslie, who has four boys, when her last went off, she and her husband were real committed to that next year. She didn't overdo things outside of the house. They really keyed into the two of them spending significant time together to really reinforce that relationship. I thought that was smart. So maybe we'll do that. You're going to need to keep working, because
because I love working.
It. You also love it. Yeah. So that's going to be happening. Yeah. I'm going to maybe do paint by number. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. My sister asked why we're so cute. Mm. And her daughter said the sweetest thing on our post about how we inspired her when she was a little girl growing up and seeing how much we loved each other and had so much fun. Isn't that the sweetest thing?
Super sweet. I remember she was like less than a year when I first met her. We started dating.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's crazy. Okay. There's one about making time for intimacy. Do we even want to cover that?
Check, please. look, I think the practicality of that is, I think it's, we're more scheduled at this stage than
we're more scheduled, but and we talked about this, and if you want more on it in the last episode we did last year, is that it's beyond intimacy, physical intimacy.
Yeah.
That if you're just trying to check that box, it's going to be hard, especially for the female to be interested, that the female brain needs to be able to shut down. There's all these to-do lists going on in order to engage physically. And so I think that the effort you've put into to know your feelings, the effort you've put into to increase communication with me, to make time, that is makes me more interested in the physical. So if you need to play that little clip for your spouse, do that. Anything else? How to handle times when the other is having a struggle of faith. Hmm. What do you think?
Well, I think that's something that can happen at any stage in life.
Yeah.
And probably also that gets back a little bit to the world's happening to them versus they're happening to the world. I think how you probably handle that conversation will be different in those situations. You know, it reminds me, and I kind of realize it's maybe a similar theme overall. Like when our kids were young and we had, we were just, busy like anybody is with, especially four young kids, four and under.
What in the world? That was crazy.
Or five and under, whatever that was. But I remember there was a time when we were like super stressed out and my dad made a comment. He said, it's easier to steer them than to get them going. Mm-hmm. And that was really helpful for me. I kind of think about like that actually kind of ties in with the same general theme around just if there's some motion, like trying to provide boundaries and but also allowing space within that motion is easier and helpful.
So. Yeah. Yeah. Melissa Kruger came on and she was talking about parenting teens, but she was talking about the four different parenting methods, like authoritative. Well, she didn't talk about this in the show. It's in her book. Authoritative, authoritarian, permissive, and like totally dismissive, kind of like not there. And it's the warmth or the involvement. So warmth is like maybe permissive and authoritative are warmer, but the permissive is not really setting boundaries. It's like the goal is to be warm and set boundaries. So it's like having relationship and also expectations. And so I don't know how I got
on. I was permissive, right? I think I was.
I think you prefer not to set boundaries.
Or wide boundaries.
Yeah, sure, sure, sure. This one is how to connect after the baby years are done. I want to correct the question.
Okay.
I think there should be connection in the baby years.
Yeah.
Especially if they're babies.
Yeah.
They sleep. They aren't, I mean, my caution to parents of real young kids is they are not the center. Don't stop going to church because of the nap time falls when they're going to, you know, it's nap time.
Don't stop going on dates.
Don't stop going on dates. Don't stop. Or even just like meeting on the couch, like talking. I was in the doctor's office and it was an adorable young couple with their newborn and they were both just on their phones. And not that they're supposed to be talking to the newborn, but like that's a time they could be connecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Anyway, yeah. I think that that is, should be a priority.
But
in the baby years.
But if that's how that person feels.
Well, but that's.
And I think that's then that's starting with that connection.
Yeah.
Like today.
Today.
What's the Chinese proverb? It says, like, when do you plant a tree? Well, you should have planted it.
Yesterday.
You should have planted it 20 years ago.
Oh.
But if you didn't, today is the right day.
That's right.
To plant a tree.
Yeah, that's right. One thing I noticed with Bruce that I want to highlight is Bruce, when he's into something and researching something, is very prophetic in that that's going to be a really popular thing in like 2 to 3 years. So you read the book Alexander Hamilton before the guy who made the musical, Lin-Manuel. He read it. So you were on that train and you read Shogun. And now the show is like super popular. IMDb super high.
It's a great story.
There is some nudity in that first episode, though.
Yeah. Not for children. Maybe don't include your kids.
But yeah, what are you currently reading that we need to know in a couple of years is going to be a big thing? Nothing interesting.
Well, I think what I'm reading right now, I'm in a candy phase.
He says candy books when he's not reading 1,500 page historical.
I will say, actually, I'll give you a great one. It's from a few months ago, but. For somebody who really likes to read, especially if you like history, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich.
Really?
About kind of how Nazi Germany all came together and that whole story. Unbelievable. I mean, I think the book was written 40, 50 years ago. Like, and actually, it's some of the things it talks about, like it's talking about how, it's too early to know. And this is like, you know, about the end of World War II. So, but it
the
is
the person
amazing,
who wrote it.
He was a American correspondent in Berlin as the Nazis were coming to power. So
he was writing about the Third Reich and in the book was saying it's too early to know.
Yeah. But I think when he writes the book after World War II, but I think he writes it in like 1950. So he kind of gets frozen in time on some things that are well known now, but at that point weren't. But I would just say like, it's just, and especially since he was there in the 1920s, 1930s as the Nazi Party was coming to power. It's such a richer perspective than kind of the, you know, high school explanation now. Great book.
Do you feel like, you know, history repeats itself? Do you see any patterns in current political structures that mirror
that?
Wow,
that is a...
Too
you
much.
You might want to scratch that.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I don't take sides. Bipartisan, yeah. But well, I was just curious. I feel like if you don't know history, then you don't notice when something is happening in history that's repeating itself.
I mean, I guess, you know, in history, you know, it's always a pendulum.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, you swing too far one way, you swing far too far the other. And I think, you know, a lot of those themes are clearly apparent right now.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for growing up with me. Since Quaid's age to now.
That's crazy.
Man, I'm glad I had a good guide. Adios.
Adios.
Okay, thanks for sticking with us, y'all. I hope you enjoyed that conversation and it was encouraging to you. And for those of you who have been on the journey with us for 10 years, man, What a ride, right? Just always learning and growing and so thankful for that, right? I'm going to pray over all the marriages here. Lord, I know there's so many different stories represented in those who are listening to this show, and I pray that you would meet them personally right now in this moment, that they would feel connected to you, God, that they would hear a special message of love and care from you wherever they are in their relationships, wherever they are in their faith, wherever they are emotionally, that you would guide them, that we would see ultimately you are in control. And while we may feel more in control than someone else, we may feel like the world is happening to us, ultimately, we surrender to the fact that you, God, are the one who is in control. And we don't always see the whole story. And we thank you that we can trust your sovereignty in our moment-to-moment challenging circumstances. I pray for all the marriages represented, that a spirit of unity would fall, that they would see one another as being on the same team, that any division would be squelched, that the enemy wouldn't get a foothold in families, and that your standard would be our standard, that the cultural standards would just fade away, and we would lean on your love, most of all, your sacrificial love, how you loved us so much that you gave, that we would have a spirit of hospitality even in our own homes. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, y'all, for joining me. I think between this episode and my next episode, we're going to have Easter, and I hope it is a wonderful time for you. I have this post that I created over 10 years ago. It's on making Easter personal for preschoolers. It involves a tiny little activity with rocks and the Easter basket, and I'll link to it in the show notes, but it's something even my boys were talking about at dinner last night. And if you are looking for just a little more gospel-centered way to do your Easter baskets, it's a fun little activity. They were joking about it. I don't know. If you need something to do with your family for Easter, that's a fun thing to do to get the gospel message across. And I pray that you can live in the freedom of the resurrection life you've been given, and meet me back here next Monday for a fantastic testimony conversation about how God moves us from ruin to redemption. All right, have a good week. Adios.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone, because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.